live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution when we celebrate and back peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, faith-filled Friday. So welcome to the broadcast. It is the 4th of July weekend, so an incredible happy 4th of July to all of you. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast starts now. We talked to Brian Rust about Honest Money, RustCoinAgift.com. We talked about the Honest Money Report, gold and silver. We talked about a Manhattan district attorney will not charge Donald Trump, but the DA will press charges against Trump Organization. I think they're trying to take away his business. Wow. The effort to take down Trump is legendary nowadays, isn't it? We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds today. Pennsylvania Supreme Court throws out Bill Cosby's conviction. He's released from jail. We also talked about this Created Equal documentary. It's a two-hour documentary about the life of Justice Thomas. Clarence Thomas doesn't fit the radical left's narrative, so they literally deplatformed his documentary. Amazon may have deplatformed Created Equal, but their loss is now your gain. The Daily Wire starting to stream Created Equal now. So there you have that. We also talked about, yes, it's ungrateful to turn your back on the national anthem, but GOP lawmakers are trying to call for Gwen Berry to lose her place on the Olympics. See, I don't agree with that. I mean, I get that it's a shame that she's doing this. I also get that I don't want us to attack people politically like this. When will it be our turn, our views, under attack, huh? Remember, it's a double-edged sword, people. All right, that's hour one. Hour two, Fox News cuts Trump border visit feed after he starts talking about forbidden subjects. What's that forbidden subject? Yeah, Fox cut off live coverage of Trump at the when he was talking at the southern border when he started talking about vote fraud. Yeah, there you have that. Trump says we better get our elections straightened out because you're going to have a runaway country if you don't. You're going to have a serious problem. You're going to have a banana republic. You're going to have a third world country here pretty soon if we don't get this together. Our elections are a mess, Donald says. He's right about that. Shaq slams LeBron's NBA whining. You're making $200 million when 40 million people are laid off. Shame on you, says Shaq. Man, I agree with Shaq on that one. Officials cancel rally when Trump is revealed as the speaker. They say partisan events not allowed in the park, except for they are. Wow, Bob Udner with that piece. We also talked about Governor Brian Kemp says that Biden's weaponizing the Department of Justice. Is that hyperbole or a real statement? If it's a real statement, we need to arrest the president immediately. If it's not a real statement, how dare Brian Kemp? Communism survivor slams white nationalism, saying that it's more dangerous than communism, not even close. CDC cruise industry could restart in July, but will it only be for the vaccinated? Time will tell. We also talked about a 25-hour work week. Work life may be changing. More flexible schedules might be the norm in the post-pandemic world. Wow, there's a story advocating for a 5-hour workday. What do you think of that, folks? We finished on steps to reduce stress-related drinking. serious topics on your radio for 2 hours. That's a recap. The broadcast for yesterday is available on demand. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, spread the word. Download the apps, live and on demand, free radio. But your donations are always welcome. All right, without further ado, let's welcome our buddy Chris Carlson back to the airwaves. Hello, sir, and a happy 4th of July elongated weekend to you.
Happy 4th to you, and happy birthday, Sam. I hear your birthday's coming up here soon. Will you tell the audience when you were born?
That is true. I was born on the 4th of July. My birthday's coming up Sunday. And there's no better day than the Sabbath to celebrate the 4th of July and my birthday, by the way. So there you have that. Yes, it is an elongated 4th of July weekend that I want people to understand. Happy Independence Day weekend. Please think of the 4th of July or Independence Day as a thanksgiving to God, family, and country. That's how I want people to think of it, Chris.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, you know, there is a dispute as to when the Declaration of Independence was actually signed, Sam. Some people think it was on the 2nd. Some people believe it's on the 4th. Most people don't really care, unfortunately. But I go ahead and celebrate my independence 365 days of the year just to cover all my bases. How about you, Sam?
Well, I agree with the 365 and a quarter days a year for sure. I do realize that there's times to take special effort to contemplate. And I believe that Independence Day is one of them. And I agree the 2nd, the 3rd, other days that this probably happened rather than the 4th. It's okay. Whatever day they designate is fine with me. But I really celebrate September 17th as one of the key days as well for Constitution Day also. But we need to, no matter what, really be grateful for our freedoms, for our liberties, etc. Now, you got to do your welcome and intro, Chris. Come on.
Yes, sir. Been caught off guard here. So without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle is the Lord's, but Sam, we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
That's the way it was for the founders' view also, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the view we need to take right into this 4th of July weekend. And I agree, independence is not a flash in the pan. It's not a get drunk and light off fireworks. It is a serious contemplation of those who have gone before us and then a commitment to what we're going to do going forward to preserve our nation, to stand up for what we hold dear. That's why I believe Independence Day weekend should be a thanksgiving to God, family, and country is what it really should be. And let's do that by talking about plans to destroy America first, and then some great quotes from the Founding Fathers to kind of round out this 4th of July special broadcast. We're doing it on Friday. We'll also do it again on Monday, since the event really is on Sunday. I'm going to take off Saturday and not do a show, do a rebroadcast Saturday. And then when I'll be back Monday, we'll talk about it more. But Chris emailed me and he said, "Hey, Sam, I wrote this on February 23rd, 2017, 1 month into Donald Trump's presidency." It's a very riveting, I don't know what you want to call it,
analysis,
essay, so to speak, analysis about expose. Donald Trump, about what we're facing in America as we speak. And even though we don't want to be negative on the 4th of July, we do need to assess where we are. It's a little bit of a State of the Union, if you will, on the 4th of July weekend. With that, Chris, let's start it out.
Yes, sir. So here's what I wrote, Sam. I'll go ahead and read it word for word. In his book, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky outlines a simple formula for overthrowing one's political opposition. He says, you pick the target, you freeze the target, you personalize the target, and then you polarize the target. This is the formula that Democrats, and to a lesser degree Republicans, have been using to discredit traditional conservative values in America for the last 60 years or so. Mr. Trump is now the target. He embodies to a great degree the values that we have traditionally valued in America. And then there's a list of those values: masculine strength, decisiveness, self-reliance, business acumen, confidence in oneself. He also represents what the left has always tried to accuse the right of being. And that list is being rude, being brutish, being insensitive, bullish, racist, sexist, reckless, etc. This is what is called typecasting in Hollywood. and it is an indispensable element in the great deception, or PSYOPs, psychological operations, that's what PSYOP stands for, that is about to take place in America. The fact that Mr. Trump is now the President of the United States allows the left to more easily carry out Saul Alinsky's formula. They have picked the target. They have frozen the target in one man, Donald Trump. They have done an effective job of both personalizing the target and polarizing that target. The only thing they have to do now is to discredit that target, President Trump and his America First agenda. So I know that's a pretty bold statement, Sam, and most people, especially those who support Donald Trump as our standard bearer in the conservative movement, would probably disagree with me on that. They think he's
well,
a genuine
person. Let's back up to the facts on this, though, Chris, because when we say we pick a target, they literally picked Donald Trump. The proof in the pudding is that they picked him was that they really gave him so much free media coverage. You could say a lot of that was negative, but, you know, one of the things that they say in the media is, hey, it doesn't matter what you say about me, just get my name right. That was part of the polarization as well, but they literally picked him, bestowed a ton of free media on him. Then they froze the target by literally putting him in positions of, you can't win. Okay, the border fence, for example, very polarizing issues. They led one phase into the next phase on Donald Trump, and they're in the final phases. Okay, they picked it, they freeze it, then they polarize it. There's one more that Saul Alinsky didn't point out, but I want to, it's demonize it. We'll talk about it all in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Rule 13. Yeah, they're trying to pick the target, freeze the target, personalize the target, polarize the target. Yeah, that's what they're doing to Donald Trump. They've been doing it in order, and one phase leads into the next. Demonize the target, eventually completely destroy the target, eventually is the goal as well. But you got to really understand this. They've done this from the very start. When he walked down the escalator, it began. Very fascinating. People could disagree, but the signs are there, Chris.
Yeah, and you know, since the advent of the TV, which happened not during our lifetime, Sam, but during our parents' lifetimes, I think they've been able to use that as a weapon against us. Because in the old days, ancient Israel used to worship idols that were carved from wood or stone or made out of gold or silver. But now we have this this wonderful instrument that allows us to project images of human beings throughout the entire world. So now our idol images have become human beings. And some of them are very crafty in how they communicate and how they present themselves. And I think Donald Trump has been one of those. In the past, I think every president has been presented as the savior for their particular side of the political debate. And I think Donald Trump was no exception to that rule. But I don't think the deep state really cares, you know, who we gravitate towards. What I think that they want, Sam, and I think this is something that they've been trying to achieve, you know, ever since the idea of riot as a political tool to accomplish our political agenda has arisen. I think they want us divided to the point where they don't have to fight us. So we're so busy fighting each other, accusing each other, demonizing each other, that we will become like a ripe fruit and that we will drop from the tree. And the United States of America, which is their primary target politically, will become easy pickings for the globalist New World Order agenda.
I think you're right. It's a serious concern. I think you're right. I think it's a serious concern in America, and I think it's something that we need to be aware of, cognizant of, and most importantly, be willing to do something about, Chris.
Well, I think what they want, Sam, is, you know, we've seen the images of Black Lives Matter and Antifa in the street, burning down buildings, toppling over police cars, and creating all sorts of damage. They would love to be able to label those protesters as conservatives, and they accomplished that on January 6th, although we know, Sam, that probably about half of those Capitol rioters that were caught so effectively on film, climbing the walls, breaking windows, breaking down doors into the Capitol, we know that most of those were probably FBI informants. We know that 20 of them were. Sorry about that. Take care of that, sorry. But I think they would like to see conservatives out in the streets clashing with Antifa, with Black Lives Matter, bashing in heads, creating havoc and chaos. And I think if they can do that, then they can edit the film so it looks as if we are the instigators of that problem. And then they can go to the next phase of their program, which is bringing in military might to suppress our God-given constitutional rights to peaceably assemble, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. I mean, they've effectively done that to a degree with the COVID fake pandemic, but I think that they want to take that to the next level by seeing genuine conservative-minded people out on the streets clashing, you know, with their FBI-funded and State Department-funded thugs. And I think once they get to that level, Sam, I think they can accomplish their objectives to a much greater degree than they have been heretofore. So I think that's what it's all about.
I think it's certainly possible they can do that, but I also think that Americans are starting to wake up more so than we've ever seen before. Like I say, I've been at this movement for 25 years. And it seems to me that we've had more people waking up in the last five. Well, let's say this. I've been at this 35 years. 25 years is Liberty Roundtable Live. But I've seen more efforts in the last 5 years and more awakening in the last 5 years than I've seen in the first 25. Chris, I think that's important to note.
Hello.
All right. Can you hear me still?
Yes, sir, Sam.
All right. So I think in the last 5 years, I've seen more people waking up and more people making a difference than in the first 25 years I've been at this. So there is hope.
Yeah. And I've often compared Washington, D.C. as Hollywood East, Sam. In that same document that I just quoted from, I'm going to continue and read one more paragraph. And you tell me if this sounds like something that we are experiencing today in our modern political environment. Essentially, what we are seeing unfold before us is a carefully choreographed, made-for-TV and internet movie production with paid actors and actresses dutifully reading their scripts and following their stage directions. Whether Mr. Trump knows that he is part of this performance or not, I cannot say. But this much I know, it is being carried out with perfection. So I think the same people that produce a Hollywood movie that captivates our interest and is compelling and provocative, I think they're carrying out the same thing on a national stage through our elected officials. And we genuinely believe that they're acting independently. And we both know, Sam, that they are not acting independently. There is a power behind the throne, as it were, that is orchestrating all of this. And we are believing, in spite of increasing evidence, that the power is in our politicians, which it has never been for the, at least the last 60, I would say 108 years, with the advent of the Federal Reserve System, Sam. And that leads us into the next analogy that I would like to share with you. And I apologize, I accidentally deleted all my notes, so this will be off the top of my head. It's the matador. Do you want to talk about the matador, Sam?
Yeah, you know, the matador has basically two tools that are used. And one is red. It's a red cape making the bull believe that it's the man. The bull can't determine between the man and the cape. And so the cape is used to deceive the bull. It reminds me of don't keep an eye on the right hand while the left hand goes to work, right? You know, that's how magicians deceive people. But what happens is they put this cape up and the bull attacks the cape while the matador basically reaches around and stabs the bull and eventually kills the bull by this trickery, by this deception, by this, you know what, the bull gets too focused on what is not important, giving the matador, who would normally lose to a bull, but with this trickery, then the matador becomes superior to the bull by betrayal and stabbing the bull in the back, kind of an idea. That is happening to America.
It is. And I think the Capitol 6 riots is an excellent example of that. See, I decided not to attend rallies. I decided not to attend protests, Sam. They're just too messy. And the media can spin them with, you know, selective cuts that they use from their film footage to make it look as if the conservatives are always the bad guys. They'll wait and they'll wait. And let me give you an example. Let's say I'm in a rally, Sam, and I'm just peacefully protesting with my sign, and a Black Lives Matter or an Antifa thug comes up to me and starts provoking me. Let's say that they're yelling at me, calling me names, and let's even say that they provoke me physically. They assault me. And they keep assaulting me, and I keep maintaining my cool, and then pretty soon I just get tired of it, and I haul off, and I hit this kid right square in the jaw. Okay, what do you think you're going to see on the nightly news? Do you think that you're going to see the 5 minutes of harassment that I was subjected to?
No, they're going to see the punch that you threw, and they're going to say the white supremacist went radical on a peaceful protester, and it'll go all wrong. That's what they've been doing. We've highlighted this from all the way from the local level, police locally, all the way up to the FBI, allowing this and encouraging this to happen. What we're talking about really is another term called gaslighting that relates to this very thing. What you have is how psychopaths demonize and demoralize their opposition. That's what's happening to us as well with this. But we also need to understand what they're using Trump for. The question is this. Do you recognize the degradation of conservative values and conservative culture by embracing Trump as the standard bearer? You know, Trump's rude, crude, loud, and obnoxious and everything else. And you get a situation where at first you think, you know, Trump's great. And in many ways he is. He's done a lot of good. At the same time, he works perfect in this pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and then polarize it. And eventually destroy and demonize. We're at the polarization stage, and we've been there for quite some time. Quick pause. Chris Carlson, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Supreme Court voted Thursday 6-3 to allow Arizona's voter integrity laws to stand. Justice Samuel Alito wrote, "Preventing voter fraud, for example, is a strong and entirely legitimate state interest." Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who argued the case, tells Fox News it's about getting the election results correct.
The Constitution, federalism, election integrity have to mean something. And the U.S. Supreme Court held that states can enact common sense election integrity measures to protect the ballot and protect the process.
Justice Elena Kagan criticized the court for remaking Section 2 with this decision and said Congress has the authority to decide whether there is no longer a need for the measure. The Boy Scouts of America has reached an $850 million settlement with more than 60,000 men who sued the Boy Scouts over alleged sexual abuse by adults in scouting over several decades. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root from my great friends at Freedom Fest. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota? Well, here's your opportunity. This July 21st through 24th, thousands of liberty lovers are headed to South Dakota for the greatest libertarian show on earth, Freedom Fest. This time held at the Rushmore Civic Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, with a record-setting crowd. Here's your chance to make new friends and meet the country's top political and business leaders, authors, and filmmakers in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Some of the star speakers this year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Drew, Larry Elder, U.S. Senator Mike Lee, U.S. Senator Cynthia Loomis, the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, Steve Moore, John Fun, Grover Norquist, Tom Woods, and the infamous pandemic mock trial. Go to freedomfest.com. Use promo code WAR50 to get $50 off the registration fee. That's freedomfest.com. With promo code WAR50, fly there, drive there, bike there, RV there, be there. Freedom Fest in South Dakota. Get your tickets now at freedomfest.com.
A member of the Trump Organization turned himself in Thursday to face tax charges in a Manhattan court. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau explains.
Charges against the Trump Organization include conspiracy, grand larceny, and tax fraud. CFO Alan Weisselberg was arraigned one day after a grand jury returned an indictment charging him and the Trump Organization with tax crimes. The 73-year-old Weisselberg worked for the Trump Company for decades. Former President Trump was not charged. It is the first criminal case arising from the two-year investigation into the Trump Organization by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Trump Organization attorney Alan Futeris says the prosecutors are going after a former president.
That is a significant line to cross. And quite frankly, not just as a lawyer, but as a citizen, we're very concerned about that.
Mr. Weisselberg was released without bail and said he intends to fight the charges. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman fired up this 4th of July weekend. Chris Carlson riding shotgun on the broadcast today. We're talking about demonization. We're talking about gaslighting. We're talking about what the extreme, you would say liberals. That's what a lot of people want to say. But I'm not confident that it's liberals. See, I think it's the deep swamp. I believe it's all the enemies of freedom, literally on both sides of the aisle, on all sides of the spectrum, attacking the sacred cause of liberty. It is God versus Satan when it comes right down to it. The war on heaven continued on earth, and boy, howdy, is it getting brutal, ladies and gentlemen. Gaslighting, how psychopaths demonize and demoralize their opposition. That's what we're seeing in spades, folks. Do you recognize the degradation of conservative culture by embracing Trump as its standard bearer? But it's not just Trump. It's all of those guys, you know? Back in the 90s, we even had Newt Gingrich, who was supposedly this rock star going to have a contract with America, and then he melts down and cheats on his wife and gets kicked out of Congress and has all these problems. And, you know, okay, they do that. They demonize and they compromise the opposition, and they get people in compromised positions and then betray them. And et cetera. It just goes on and on and on. That's the negative of what's happening in America, ladies and gentlemen, and it's true. We brought that up because it's really important as they try to attack Trump's businesses now. They've realized they can't take him down personally. He's coming back as him and Mike Lindell and others are doing some things in the media to try to have their own voice box to speak out. And so now what they're trying to do is attack his businesses and see if they can't yank all of his money from him. That's what they're headed for next. They decided not to try Trump in New York courts, but they are going to try the Trump organization. Very interesting tactic and strategy they've got there. Anyway, any final wrap up on that, Chris?
Yeah, and the perception is reality. You know, a lot of people, they'll believe any accusation, even though it's merely an accusation. So if somebody is accused of a crime like Trump, with his business, and I heard what the crime was, it seems very insignificant in nature, but that doesn't matter to some people. You know, they're just chomping at the bit, waiting to hear any negative thing about Trump that they can hang on him just to increase their enmity towards him. Anyway, so that's one of the tricks that the media uses to demonize not only the individual Trump, but anybody who supports him. And it is polarizing America to the point where I think that eventually they will be able to very easily instigate riots where not only Antifa and Black Lives Matter will be out there on the streets, but their opponents will be, and there will be real violence. And I think that's how they're going to weaken us. But one more thing, you mentioned Trump's rudeness and crudeness and insensitive behavior. This is designed to do something, and I think very few pundits, Sam, picked up on this, but I did from the very beginning. It is designed to lower our standards as conservatives. In order to embrace Trump, we have to embrace his behavior. And in order to embrace his behavior, we have to lower our standards. And I think that's a trick that they've used on him. And that's why I never from the very beginning, Sam, embraced him as our standard bearer. We need to embrace our Heavenly Father, because at this point in the game, Sam, I don't think anybody in this universe can save us from our awful situation except Heavenly Father. So we need to get on our knees and pray. And once we get off our knees and pray for the salvation of this noble republic, Sam, I think we need to go to work like you and I are doing to first peaceably restore this republic. And if needs be, as a final resort, you know, we should probably do what our founding fathers did and resort to arms if necessary, but only in a defensive capacity. And I say that with great emphasis, only in a defensive capacity. We don't go to the Capitol. We don't break into people's or even public buildings. You know, we do it in a strictly defensive capacity, Sam. Do you want to transition at this time?
To do. They want to tempt us into taking hostile action or taking offensive action. They want to tempt us into turf where they betray us or manipulate us and declare the moral high ground. That's what I believe they really did to Trump and others on January 6th. They literally said, attack the Cape, and then they stabbed us in the back. Not a death blow, but certainly a change the game, demonize the Donald and everybody associated with him blow. Are we going to be smart enough to step back from that arena of deception and fight on our turf? In other words, we take back the narrative. We call the shots. And that's what we need to do. One of the best ways we can do that, ladies and gentlemen, on the 4th of July is get a real understanding of who we are, what our culture is, and how we go about restoring the country. Ezra Taft Benson, Secretary of Agriculture under the Eisenhower administration, wrote an incredible book called This Nation Shall Endure. And that's where I get that phrase that I use at the end of literally every program. But it's an appropriate discussion to have on Independence Day. There's some incredible quotes this weekend that really relate to what we can do, how we need to approach this thing. And it starts out by thanking God Almighty. I thank God for the sacrifices and efforts made by our founding fathers, whose efforts who have brought us the blessings we have today. Their lives should be reminders to us that we are beneficiaries, the blessed beneficiaries, I might clarify, of a liberty that's earned by great sacrifice, the loss of everything, including life, by some of these wonderful people. This nation is not like any other nation. It was uniquely born. All right? And Chris, why don't you dive into a little bit of the sacrifice that was made on behalf of we the people?
Don't mind if I do, Sam. Then these men were true men who devoted their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors to the cause of liberty. And they knew, and some of them did, nine of them died. Nine of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, Sam, they paid for it with their lives over the next 7 years of war. And I'll just read you some of these accounts. Let's see. Okay, here we go. At least 9 of these died as a result of the war or its hardships on them. The first of the signers to die was John Morton of Pennsylvania. He was at first sympathetic to the British, but finally changed his mind and cast his vote for independence. By doing so, his friends, relatives, and neighbors turned against him. Those who knew him best said this ostracism hastened his death, for he lived only 8 months after the signing. His last words were, "Tell them that they will live to see the hour when they shall acknowledge it to have been the most glorious service that I ever rendered to my country." So there's John Morton. Here, listen to this guy. His name is Caesar Rodney. I think he was the Catholic of the bunch. There's only one Catholic. The other 55 signers were Protestant as far as their religious orientation. He said, or Ezra Taft Benson says, another to pay with his life was Caesar Romney. Suffering facial cancer, he left his sickbed at midnight and rode all night by horseback through a severe storm. He arrived just in time to cast the deciding vote for his delegation in favor of independence. His doctors told him he needed treatment obtainable only in Europe. He refused to go in this time of his country's crisis. The decision cost him his life. And these men were happy to pay with their lives for this sacred cause because they were men of God. And they knew, let me give you an example of what I believe these men had in their minds and in their hearts at the times. They knew that they were going to live for an eternity, as we all will live for an eternity in the next life, Sam. Wouldn't it be a great tragedy to be condemned throughout the eternity, Sam, to look back on the decisions that we made in this life and know that we casted our votes in favor of a promised security and not for liberty? Wouldn't that be tragic if you or I, Sam, or anybody in this world was condemned for the rest of eternity to look back and know that they could have stood for a noble cause, like declaring liberty from a tyrannical government in Great Britain? And they were not devoted enough to the cause, which is God's cause, which is a noble cause, which is a righteous cause in conformity with the principles of the Bible. And we did not have the courage or resolve to cast our vote in favor of that, even if it would have costed our lives. But we have the rest of eternity to think about those things. Okay, you want me to read a couple more? Or do you think that's a good sampling?
Yeah, no. I think we need to read a few more of these. I think these understanding of who these people were and what made them tick is vital to understand who we need to be to carry on the same legacy, Chris.
Because we're reliving history, aren't we, Sam? I mean, we may be called to give our very lives for this cause, and I'm ready to do it. I know that's easy to say, Sam. I know you are probably of the same mindset, but I would like to think that I would be willing to give my life for the cause of liberty, because I do not want to have to regret for an eternity the fact that I was found on the wrong side of history. So let's read a couple more of these when we get back.
All right, we'll do it when we get back, ladies and gentlemen. We're running out of time way faster than I want us to. I'll tell you that right now. Great subjects, ladies and gentlemen. Never enough time to cover them. We'll do our best in the final segment on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org.
That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with Chris Carlson on your radio. We're talking about the Founding Fathers and just who they were. Do a quick job and wrap that up, and then I got an interesting question for you as well. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, one more quick account, Sam, and we'll move on. When the British came to Trenton, they settled near the home of John Hart, one of the five signers from New Jersey. He had a large farm and several grist mills. While his wife was on her deathbed, Hessian soldiers were like soldiers of fortune that the British had hired as mercenaries to come over. Hessian soldiers descended on Hart's property. They destroyed his mills, ravaged his property, and scattered his 13 children. Hart became a hunted fugitive. When he finally returned to his land, he was broken in health. His farmland was scourged. His wife had died, and his children were all scattered. He died 3 years after signing the Declaration of Independence. So, and there are a couple more, but let's go ahead and move on, Sam, because we've got a lot of territory to cover.
We have a bunch of territory to cover and never enough time to get that done, ladies and gentlemen. But I will say this. It's important to remember. You know what? This Nation Shall Endure is the title of Ezra Taft Benson's book, which has a ton of these quotes and a ton of this reality in it about faith in the nation's survival. And that doesn't mean that Washington, D.C. is going to survive or the bureaucrats in office. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fundamental core of constitutionalists will remain true, will turn to God, and will be blessed and rewarded. George Washington even had a vision about this. But let's talk about this Samuel Adams quote. And then my question.
Yes, sir. The Samuel Adams quote. This was during the Revolution, Sam. He said, "If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were ever our countrymen." And can you imagine if you were a British loyalist, Sam, and Sam Adams told you that, and then 7 years later, after the American colonists had won the war, the Revolutionary War, then you realized that you were, in fact, on the wrong side of history. You chose to go with security and conformity with principles that were not consistent with that of our Heavenly Father. And because of laziness or fear or whatever, you chose not to join the colonists in fighting this noble cause of righteousness. I don't want to be that person, Sam, and I know that you don't. So let us learn from history and realize that the battle is the Lord's, like I say at the in the introduction. But we do need to be engaged in the fight because we will be on the right side of history, because this battle for freedom and liberty and righteous government will be won. But God's not going to come down here himself, Sam. He's not going to fight our battles without us first engaging in the fight ourselves.
So there's a lot of quotes from the founders about America, about their positions, about their stance. You know, Patrick Henry's always well known for "Give me liberty, or give me death speech. I'd rather, you know, stand on my, die on my feet than, you know, live on my knees. Kind of an idea. And I think that's important for all of us to understand. We need a gut check of where we stand, what we're willing to do. We need to draw our line in the sand. You know, when they come for the guns, that's a pretty good line, because once you let them cross that line, you aren't able to even fight back. Interestingly enough, next hour, I'm going to talk with Dr. Scott Bradley about this some, too. You know, I don't know if you know this, but Brian Kemp says that Joe Biden is weaponizing the Justice Department. Now, if that's really true, we need to arrest Joe Biden immediately before he gets above the people. Joe Biden is well known for saying, hey, no way an AK-47 is going to take care of you. Biden dismisses Founding Father quote on militias. We'll talk about that next hour with Dr. Scott Bradley. The reason I bring it up now, though, is that, you know what, you got to realize once they take away our ability to defend ourselves, the God-given inalienable right of self-defense, we are in serious trouble then. But I kind of look at it and say, you know, everybody wants us to have kind of a modern-day George Washington, and I think good leaders should be sought after. I think good, honest, and wise men should be searched high and low for. But remember, they're only men. And I don't think our salvation, our safety, is in a man, if you will. So let's talk about the prospect of a modern-day George Washington. Are there any? Who are they? Can we get them to serve us as General George did? You know, this 4th of July, that's important. To contemplate as we look to the future also, Chris.
So, yes, as far as a modern-day George Washington is concerned, you need to realize George Washington was selected by the people. He was known because he was in the Continental Congress at the time under the Articles of Confederation. People knew about him because of the newspapers constantly wrote about him. Today, in order to become a modern-day George Washington and be able to communicate and lead a nation of 330 million people, Sam, you have to have access to the media. And let me ask you, Sam, have you been able to access the media to the degree that you could be able to communicate with anybody or anything near 330 million Americans? And if not, is there anything that you can do to change that stranglehold that the mainstream media has on communication channels?
The answer is right now, no. And the reason it's no is for several reasons. Number one, they own the majority of radio stations. The government controls those radio stations. You know, you have private ownership, government control via the FCC. It's as communist as it gets in its delivery. Or you could say it's the fascist side of the road. But whether it's fascism, socialism, communism, they all lead to one direction, a godless tyranny. So I don't think that we have near the ability. Then we started to do it with the internet, and then now they're shutting down a lot of the media services on the internet. So we don't have a prayer on that front as it currently stands. However, I do believe that some of that's changing. And I do believe that, you know what, they've been trying for a tyranny since Cain killed Abel. They've been seeking for power and to have these secret combinations above the people. They've never got it yet. So this 4th of July weekend, I'm celebrating the fact that they don't have it. I know it appears that they're getting closer and closer and closer. But remember, as General George Washington set the example, you can lose a lot of battles but still win the war. So let's not forget that. And let's know that when we're on the Lord's side, you know what? There's no end to what we can accomplish. Not on our own, not because of us, but because of the grace of Almighty God. What do we need to do to realize that grace or have that grace applied to us? I would submit to you that he decides what we need to do. He says, follow me. Do as I do. Come to me and repent, and I'll heal your land and protect you. The directions, biblically speaking, are very clear. So the answer to your question, no. But I also say there's a lot of hope because we're on the right side of the discussion, Chris.
Yeah, and we need to think locally, Sam. I think we're going to see salvation on the local level, the neighborhood level, maybe the county level, and maybe even the state level if we can maintain communication channels with our fellow state citizens and residents. But to think that there's going to be a George Washington figure, Sam, who the media will embrace, who the media will send out to the people to listen to his rhetoric, and that we can forget about that. In other words, and I've heard this many times by other realistic-minded pundits of political thought, that you know the fight for freedom in Washington, that ended many, many years ago. So we need to think in terms of organizing our neighborhoods, maybe organizing our states, if we can maybe get a constitutional-minded representative elected to political office. And I talked to my own representative here in the state of Utah just last week. We talked about that, Sam. But as far as finding some savior figure, you know, we've already got a savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He has given us enough means to establish the principles that are embodied in the Constitution on the local level and to build from there. And to not fall for a savior figure like we did with Donald Trump. I mean, if we look at the beginning of his presidency to the end of it, we were actually worse off in many, many ways, and we talked about that, and you know, we don't have time to go through that again. But we see what happens when the media promotes an individual. We need to break away from that paradigm. We need to organize ourselves locally. We need to get food storage so that we can survive the coming vicissitudes of this struggle, and they will be harsh. I mean, look at the example that the Founding Fathers had to endure through. You know, they probably had food storages, they probably had means of survival, but there were probably a lot of sacrifices, as we well know, that way they went through. Anyway, I've gone on ad nauseum.
Well, I want to say this, though, because this is really critical this hour to cap off. There's a lot we can do. We need to pattern our lives after the lives of the Founding Fathers. We need to have a love for liberty in our hearts, have it in our conscience, in our very souls. And then we need to do our very best to reject fear and have faith. And what do we have faith in? Well, I put it this way. You know what? We can all become George Washingtons. You know what? I don't have as much influence as George did in his day, but I can do what I can do. You can do what you can do. One becomes two. Two becomes the few. The few becomes many. And by our greater numbers shall we have success. I want to put this headline in the mix. I took two headlines from two different emails that I got. One from the American Family Association. And I can't remember where the other one came from. But listen to this headline that I built out of the two points. Everybody's sending me 4th of July greetings and messages, and I commend them and thank them for their exuberance and their willingness. But here's the headline. You can help restore help. Wow, let me start over. You can help restore hope in our country by bearing the torch of Christ in America. Let me say it again. You can help restore our country by bearing the torch of Christ. That's how you can help restore hope in America, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we need to be all about. Chris?
Yes, we need to turn off our TV, Sam, because more often than not, the information being disseminated through our TVs and, you know, mainstream media in general is not valuable to us. We need to open our Bibles and we need to get on our knees, as you said. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the true Savior of this republic. And the Founding Fathers knew that, and that's why they were men of God and Christians. We need to get back to that formula for success. And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You know, once we get off our knees, we need to go to work and continue to go to work until this noble republic is saved. Because without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle is the Lord, Sam, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
Thank you, Chris. We the people can be the freedom factor. Will you help us? Happy 4th of July weekend. Make it a reflective weekend. Make it a God, family, country weekend. Will you please? For Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.